It's time.
We are not called to be nice.
Sandy Rios, welcome, Sandy. Thanks for being here.
We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
And you still like me, or you don't like me, James?
Are you okay? You all right?
I'm a musician. I can't help it.
Longtime Fox News contributor Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
We have, I think it's 4-1 youth in America wants gay marriage.
Our kids are the product of public schools. No wonder they poll the way they do.
It's time to stand up or we're going to lose everything we have.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
This isn't a game. This is real life.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
Some things are worth fighting for.
Morning, folks. This is Matt Barber sitting in for Sandy Rios on Sandy Rios in the Morning. Hope you're all doing well this Friday morning, and thank goodness it's Friday. Obviously, the big news right now is the hurricane watch. Irma is bearing down on southeast Florida, and she looks to be a monster. This is they're saying this is one of the largest mass exodus in U.S. history. I've got a number of friends that are in the lines of traffic with millions of people trying to get out of Florida and obviously South Georgia and other areas on the southeast coast are in danger here. And so obviously, and I know you've heard this on AFR a number of times, we need to be in prayer for everyone in southeast Florida. And elsewhere, this hurricane has already gone through Wednesday and yesterday. It has devastated some of the Lesser Antilles Islands, Bermuda, St. Bartholomew, and Guaya, and St. Martin. And it, along with it comes tornadoes. And, this is scary stuff. People are batting down the hatches, and trying to get out, but it's hard to do when, as you've heard, a number of residents in Florida saying they're out of gas. There are some people that are just going to have to bear down and weather the storm. And if you're out there in Georgia, in Florida, we'd love to hear your stories and get your reports. If you can call into Sandy Rios in the Morning, 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. But I want to talk about the larger picture here. What are we witnessing happening in the world? On the heels of Hurricane Harvey, we've got this madman in North Korea threatening nukes, and apparently now intelligence seems to indicate having tested a hydrogen bomb there in North Korea. It's a frightening time. And then big news from yesterday evening, late last night in Mexico City. They're reporting an earthquake of a magnitude of 8.1 struck off the southern coast of Mexico. And they said so far the death toll is it's killed at least 6 people. It's triggered a small tsunami, but thankfully so far with no major destruction from the waves, but it's destroyed a number of buildings. They're saying it's the even stronger than the devastating 1985 tremor that really flattened entire swaths of Mexico City and killed thousands. And we pray that the aftershocks and that there isn't another big one coming there in Mexico. But boy, the world is groaning, isn't it? And Scripture talks about the world groaning and toward the end times. And I'm not saying that we're in the end of days. None of us has any way of knowing. When Christ returns, he will come as a thief in the night. So we really have no way of knowing. But boy, just the chaos out west, the wildfires and in Oregon and elsewhere, and this is the biggest news story that no one's really talking about. And where I'm located in Colorado Springs, that a few years ago was threatened by these wildfires. And I know how frightening that can be to folks. So let's also be in prayer for everyone out on the West Coast, in Oregon and elsewhere, with these wildfires that are taking out houses and encroaching on neighborhoods and threatening lives and families. But during these tumultuous times, we need to keep our focus clearly on God. It's easy to get caught up in the flesh and in the world and look around and see all of the devastation, the man-made chaos and threats that we face from ISIS, from Kim Jong-un and North Korea, from Iran, from other hostile nations that would love to see nothing more than, first of all, the great Satan, the United States, destroyed, and the small Satan, or the little Satan, Israel, destroyed. And you know, we look at our lives here, and in this fallen world, life is hard. And you look at the news, and the world is sinful, and it's sin that is responsible, the fall of man that is responsible for all this. Yes, even the hurricanes and the death and the destruction, it's all as a result of the fall of man and the fall of sin. And you see this violence and this these natural disasters clouding the air of absolute truth and muddying the waters of the pure grace that flows to us from Christ. And it seems the world has gone entirely mad, and it really has. And as we as you know, you hear on AFR Talk quite often, relativism, moral relativism, it rules, up is down, black is white. That which God calls evil, the world calls good, and you and I and anyone who holds true to the truths of Scripture are haters for calling good good and evil evil, and all forms of sexual immorality are celebrated and tagged, you know, human rights, while God's design for marriage, for family, for human sexuality, and along with true human rights and Christian civil rights, and certainly our brothers and sisters in the Middle East who are being slaughtered through genocide by Islamic fundamentalists and Orthodox Muslims. These true rights are being trampled around the world, and even, yes, even to a lesser extent, in a sense, a kind of a soft persecution right here in the United States with bakers and florists and small business owners and Christians being pushed to the margins and told they can't engage in commerce. And in the second half hour, we're going to talk a little bit about one woman, the activist mommy, for instance, who's been kicked off of Twitter because she called out a writer who was promoting sodomy in the Advocate magazine. And, you know, we see innocent children slaughtered, killed in the womb, thousands a day right here in the United States, while these demonic political systems rooted in the pagan traditions of Islam, the socio-political quasi-religious traditions of Islam, and then their partners in crime, the progressives and secular humanists, they stack up the bodies of tens of millions of Christians and innocent unborn children like cordwood. It's frightening. And you know, I want to focus here, though, that what we're seeing, the enemy he's enraged because he knows, the enemy of the world, Satan, is enraged because he knows his time is short. He's acting out in all of these various ways. And yet through it all, we, you know, his the children of God and believers, Christ followers, through his infinite mercy and grace, you know, we can have peace. God gives us a taste of things to come. And I want to focus on the eight top things that we need to be thinking about through all of this chaos. And in biblical terms, of course, the number eight, it represents a new beginning with God. It signifies man's conventional relationship with our Creator through the physical act of course, in the old Jewish tradition of circumcision, but it's performed on the eighth day on a male child. For the Christian, though, whether Jew or Gentile, we undergo what scriptures call the circumcision of the heart through our belief upon and our communion with Christ, the God-man, with Christ himself. And that's why I believe that the Holy Spirit, through the Apostle Paul and through God's revealed word, his will, he's He's given us the things to focus on during these tough times. Number one, first and foremost, of course, is Christ himself. But eight specific things to think about so that the peace of God will be with us, as Paul said. And there can be peace in the eye of the storm. And for, again, for all of you folks out in Florida and Georgia, anyone with any stories, give us a call, 888-589-8840. Taking your calls to, we'd love to hear updates from you on what's happening out there with Hurricane Irma. But Paul, he told us what to focus on in Philippians 4:8. He said, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. So we need to think about that which is true, right? And that which is true is hated here in the world today. And I've often said, truth is hate to those who hate truth. And you heard on the news break, again, more news coming in about the Southern Poverty Law Center that loves to call truth hate. And they love to call those who embrace truth and speak truth in love, always in love, hate groups, haters. Whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, lovely, admirable, and whatever is true, the opposite of true is the lie. Truth is fixed. Truth is objective. Moral relativism, which the left embraces, which the Southern Poverty Law Centers and other foster, if they foster the absurd notion that truth is this malleable, subjective thing. Your truth may not be my truth. My truth may not be your truth. Well, no, truth is truth. And whether or not they believe it's true, there's a hurricane bearing down on South Florida. And everyone would agree of that on Southeast Florida. That's objectively true. But according to moral relativism in general, who's to say that that's true? Therefore, the left's central aspect of their worldview, relativism, it's a lie. And as think about it, Pontius Pilate himself, he said to Christ, what is truth? And God created order. God is a God of order, not of disorder. He's a God of truth, not of lies. His natural law, both his natural physical law that we see occurring in the world right now, the physics associated with these hurricanes, that's true. That's truth. The earthquake in Mexico, it's true. It's happening. Those are things that are occurring based upon the natural laws, physical laws. There's also the natural moral law that is truth. And the Bible, which is God's word, is truth. It's called the word of truth, in fact. And scripture says, in the beginning was the word, and the word was God. Or the word was with God and the word was God. That's, of course, John 1:1. And so Jesus himself is truth. Christ is truth. So we need to focus on truth, who is love, who is Christ, during these tough times. He says, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So immerse yourself during these tough times, I would suggest, as we see all this chaos, and especially for our brothers and sisters and others that are suffering right now in Florida, immerse yourself in truth. Focus on God. You're in our prayers. We're praying for you. Keep your head low. Give us a call. Let us know how things are happening there. This is Matt Barber sitting in for Sandy Rios. You're listening to Sandy Rios in the Morning, and we will be right back.
So What would you do with an extra $500 a month in your budget? $500. This isn't hypothetical, by the way. This is something you may need to think about very soon if you decide to become a member of MediShare. MediShare is a way to pay for your health care, and typically it costs $500 less per month for a family versus other health care plans. So seriously, think about this. You could pay off loans, pay down a mortgage, save the money for retirement, donate to charity. That would be a big deal. But you know what? Here's the best thing. MediShare works. It has 250,000 members, and it's growing fast. With MediShare, not only do you save, you don't have to pay for things you don't believe in either, and that is a beautiful thing too. So here's how you can find out more, and you might actually wind up saving even more than $500 a month. So check into it. Here's the number. Call 855-PSALM-23. That's 855-PSALM-23, now available in Montana. 855-PSALM-23.
People are asking us here at American Family Radio, who do I give to help the victims of Hurricane Harvey? Well, folks, we are recommending 8 Days of Hope. What we're going to do now is raise some money for 8 Days of Hope using our microphone here at AFR. 100% of the money that you give to American Family Association, American Family Radio, during this fundraiser, we will turn around and give to 8 Days of Hope. I promise. We will not take any money out for ourselves. We just wanted to have one gathering place. We wanted to write one check from AFA and AFR to give to 8 Days of Hope and Steve Tiber and his team. We know that you're looking for places to give your money that you can trust, and we absolutely are confident in the work and the ministry and the integrity of 8 Days of Hope.
Call 877-616-2396. That's 877-616-2396. Or visit AFR.net.
Give now.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next.
Truett McConnell University.
My name is Paul Kizito. I'm a junior biology major here at Truett McConnell, and I came from Uganda. What I love about TMU is number one is the heart of, you know, of just the school and the love for God, for Christ. You can see it once you step on the campus. Like, you can see it's best, like, the foundation for TMU is Christianity.
Are you called? Visit truett.edu today.
Employees of the Veterans Administration are being forced to not just endorse the transgender movement, but now they're being forced to participate in the transition process. A concerned worker sent me a copy of the 23-page Transgender Transition Handbook sent to every employee. It covers everything from gender expression to gender fluidity. Workers are told if they fail to identify transgender people by their new pronouns and names, they would be brought up on harassment charges. The VA also told workers to develop support teams to help colleagues going through the transitioning process. Biological women must accommodate men who identify as women in their shower stalls and locker rooms. And there are no religious exemptions for chaplains or VA workers who have deeply held religious beliefs. In other words, you will be made to care. I'm Todd Starnes.
Don't forget to connect with Sandy Rios in the morning on Facebook or email Sandy at sandy@afr.net. That's sandy@afr.net. Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
Welcome back to Sandy Rios in the morning. This is Matt Barber sitting in for Sandy today. Encourage you to visit barbwire.com, barbwire.com. I'm the founder and editor-in-chief of BarbWire. It's Christian news and commentary and from a decidedly biblical perspective, and encourage you to visit the website. We're talking about, obviously, the big news story of the day. You can't avoid it, is Hurricane Irma and this mass exodus in southeast Florida and elsewhere. And it's not 100% clear where it's going to really bear down and come in, but we know that the trajectory right now seems to be heading toward southeast Florida, and there's a mass exodus occurring, one of the largest in U.S. history. Taking your calls at 888-589-8840. I want to hear from any of you who, and I know probably phone lines are down and everything else. So if you or you have a family member out there, if you can give us a report on what it's looking like, what's going on, if you're out in Georgia or Florida, please do give us a holler, 888-589-8840. But we do have Denise on the line. calling from Texas. And Denise, welcome to Sandy Rios in the Morning.
Good morning. Actually, I'm in Ohio, but I am a Texan. I was born and raised in Texas.
Okay. Well, they've just in the last couple of weeks had a little experience with hurricanes in Texas as well.
Yes, they did. And my entire family's in Texas. So luckily, we don't have anybody in Houston, my immediate family, anymore. So that was good. They're all in the Austin and New Braunfels, San Antonio area. So all my family was safe, thank God.
Yeah. Well, what are your thoughts on this? I'm sure are you praying for all these folks in Florida? What do you think about all this? Yeah.
Well, you know what I'm shocked that I haven't heard is they've got the mandatory evacuations and everybody's trying to get out and the giant lines and they're running out of gas and all of that. But what I haven't heard is that anybody, either the state or the counties or anybody, you know, private companies, nobody is taking buses from what I've heard and going in and around to the neighborhoods and picking up people that are stuck there. And it just seems to me that that's a mode of getting people out, an opportunity that they're not taking advantage of. And I don't understand why that's not happening.
Yeah, I don't either. And what another thing I don't understand is how can the infrastructure and the levee system and the drainage system in Miami, for instance, be in such disrepair when, you know, they're saying that this could actually, the damage from Hurricane Irma could result in the billions of dollars, and maybe even $100 billion or more. And wow. So I'm wondering, and thanks for the call, Denise, really appreciate you calling in, but I'm wondering where, you know, all this money that we're piddling away here and waste and abuse that our federal government engages in, this should have been, you know, after the hurricane in New Orleans with the levees breaking and Katrina, you'd think that they would have looked at other areas in the United States and secured the infrastructure. But instead, we're spending money on the Obama administration on, you know, studying the sexual habits of homosexuals and so forth, you know, spending millions of dollars on that kind of nonsense instead. But we were talking about before the break as well, during these just incredibly tumultuous times here in the world, and, you know, and for the believer, and every generation, of course, thought they were the end times generation. And so I'm not going to say we are, who knows, but boy, everything sure is in keeping with scripture, and it's a little uncanny. It all falls on the heels of this eclipse and, you know, Harvey and Irma falling on the heels of this eclipse. But I'm just reminding everyone here what Paul said during these, you know, when the world is in chaos and with a madman in North Korea threatening nuclear war with the United States and ISIS and Iran, the largest state funder of Islamic terrorism. You know, there's no question that the world is groaning right now. We see it right here in the United States and Mexico. Again, pray for the people of Mexico, Mexico City, an 8.1 earthquake, larger than the one that nearly destroyed, you know, large swaths of Mexico City in the mid-80s. What is going on here? But Paul, he told us, the Apostle Paul told us, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, whatever is excellent, whatever is praiseworthy, that these are the things that we need to be focusing on. We talked about whatever is true before the break. How about whatever is noble? You know, Webster's defines noble as, and I'm reading here, quote, having, showing, or coming from personal qualities that people admire, such as honesty, generosity, courage, etc. So we know noble when we see it. When we see a teenage boy who returns, you know, cash in a wallet that he found on the ground, when he just knows inherently because of Christ in him or because of some moral compass, returns it. When we see the, you know, a philanthropist who anonymously gives millions to the widow or to the poor or to for hurricane relief, when we see the men and women with their boats heading toward Hurricane Harvey and the Cajun Navy, as they call them, people risking their lives to save others. That's the best of America. That's noble. That's the noble nature of our founding, I think, and we see it playing out in the spirit of the American people. I know the same thing will happen with Florida, that people will come together in a noble way around one of these eight things that Paul told us to focus on, that which is noble. You know, we especially see it in the soldier, in the U.S. soldier, or anyone, as Christ talks about, who may lay down their lives for another. That is truly noble. I want to go to Mark in Georgia. And Mark, is the wind blowing out there? How are things in Georgia?
Right now it's pretty calm. Good morning, and God bless you. And just wanted to let the Floridians know that I know how the liberal left is always trying to push against Donald Trump, but just want them to know that Trump has already started staging FEMA at Robins Air Force Base in Warner Robins, Georgia. So
wonderful.
As soon as the worst part of it gets over, I just want them to know that Trump is looking after them, and he's already started staging FEMA. So I'm praying for them, and I'm praying that hopefully it'll calm down before it finally hits Florida. So just wanted them to know that Trump is looking after them.
Well, thanks for the update, Mark, and thanks for the call. And certainly it appears that President Trump is trying to learn the lessons, or has learned the lesson of Katrina, where they were caught off guard. And then, of course, the criticism of then President Bush was completely unfair. But so President Trump, boy, he has really, and it's kind of just shut the fake news media up, hasn't it? I mean, they're still going to, it's amazing to me. He is on top of this. He goes out to Harvey. He has these wonderful African-American families. And you have, of course, the images of the woman saying, "This is my president," African-American, and with the children, and, you know, inspiring them. And all you could hear from the media is how he doesn't really seem to show empathy. I mean, they will find anything to bash this president over the head with. And when they do, the fake news and the progressive left, they just continue to discredit themselves. And I think some Democrats are waking up to that. Pelosi and others are now coming out. They're finally calling out the violent terrorist group Antifa, the leftist terrorist group Antifa. But anyway, taking your calls, 888-589-8840. I'm Matt Barber, sitting in for Sandy Rios, talking about, during these tumultuous times, the eight things that Paul tells us to focus on. That which is true, we talked about. That which is noble, we talked about. Whatever is lovely, we need to be focusing on. And what is lovely? Love, it's defined as attractive or beautiful, especially in a graceful way. And of course, while outward beauty can be lovely, inward beauty that derives from the Holy Spirit, inward, that's where our inward beauty comes from, because we're fallen, sinful human beings. Scripture says there's not one who is righteous, not even one. So the inner beauty we have comes to us as a gift from the Holy Spirit. And the creative arts are lovely, certainly, especially when they are motivated by a desire to serve and honor and glorify the Creator. You know, I think one of the most lovely things I've ever heard, Handel's Messiah. You hear it, that's lovely. The Sistine Chapel, it's lovely. God's nature, creation and created order, his design for marriage and family. In the beginning, he made them male and female. That's lovely. My beautiful wife and my two beautiful daughters are lovely inside and out. And it's, we see loveliness in the generosity and the love of others that is being poured out right now toward the folks in Florida. We saw it in Harvey in Texas. We saw it poured out, love and people risking their own lives and rescuers, even some of them losing their lives for others. And of course, Christ talks to that. And so there's no greater show of love than to give up your life for another. That is lovely. to see whatever is admirable. And that means what's worthy of admiration, inspiring approval, reverence, or affection. And the whole of God's creation, you know, save those aspects like hurricanes. I mean, they're not admirable. The chaos that accompanies Hurricane Irma and Hurricane Harvey, it's not admirable. It's awesome. It makes us realize just how fragile we are as human beings. Our Creator God, He is beyond admirable. And he is worthy of our infinite wonder, of our praise and worship. And unfortunately, in our sinful nature, though, we often admire things that fall well short of that which is admirable. You know, we think about, as Paul said, think about these things. We end up thinking about things that are not admirable and admiring those things in our flesh. And the world does that. We think about things that are anathema to these eight things that Paul tells us to think about during these times. Again, what is true, what is noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable, excellent, and praiseworthy. We need to be focusing on these things. And I know I am. And as we pray for our brothers and sisters and friends and family in Florida and Georgia on the Southeast Coast, let's try to continue to keep our focus on Christ and that which is admirable. Keep them in our prayers. All right, going to the phone lines here. We got a call from Mississippi, Hattiesburg, I think, Mississippi. Yeah. Welcome to Sandy Rios Live.
Hey, I wanted to comment on the Katrina thing. Katrina actually hit in Mississippi by St. Louis and Waveland, Mississippi. That was the epicenter.
That's right.
And Mississippi and Alabama were prepared. Their governors and mayors, like when Washington called and what they said, what do you need? They said, we need this many National Guard. We need this many supplies. This is what we need. The people in Mississippi, when Bush came down, they understood why. I mean, it looked like Hiroshima down here. And
sure.
Then Louisiana, it was their state and their governor, their mayor, that were not prepared, and they went into hiding. They never answered the calls on what do they need. I mean, nobody could reach them.
Yeah.
And, that's the way it really was. But, you know, they get all the, you know, and they didn't even get the, I mean, it looked like Hiroshima. There were no landmarks. Three counties across, three counties up, and then you got Alabama. You know, and all the way through Mobile.
Yeah.
But all we hear is New Orleans, New Orleans.
Well, yeah.
And it was New Orleans and Louisiana's fault for not keeping up the levees, which were their responsibility.
Of course.
And, but Washington tried. They tried to get in touch with them. They tried to do for them. And they had it so set up, you went to a point, and the National Guard, you rode around in this huge circle. They said, unlock your door and roll your window down on the passenger side. You went to one station, they put in water. You went into another one, they put in ice. They went into another one, they put in food, and it just flowed very quickly,
yeah.
Very organized.
Organized, but yep. Boy, and you're making a great point here, showing a stark difference and thanks for the call, and solidifying the infrastructure. And again, here, and it's always, why does it seem like it's always these Democrat cities that are unprepared, that are in disarray? Miami is in the same kind of trouble, and let's continue to pray that it doesn't see the worst of this, because the infrastructure there is not prepared for it. And the hurricane, the levee system, everything they have going on there in Miami, they're not ready for it. Clinton in Texas, we're going to take your call after the break, coming up on a hard break here. But continuing to focus on, during these tough times, these horrible times, what Paul told us to focus on. Eight things. What are the eight things we need to be focusing on while we see all of this chaos? I'm Matt Barber, in for Sandy Rios. We're going to be right back after this break.
So we built the wall, for the people had a mind to work. My name is Abraham Hamilton III, and this is the Hamilton Corner. President Trump has announced his decision to rescind the unconstitutional abuse of executive power known as the DACA program, which was implemented via executive order by former President Obama after his immigration initiative, the DREAM Act, was rejected by Congress. Regressives have decried President Trump's decision as cruel, immoral punishment of children for the sins of their parents. Interestingly, many of these regressives support abortion on demand. The volume of hypocrisy here is deafening. Isn't abortion nothing more than cruel, immoral punishment of children for the sins of their parents?
Listen to the Hamilton Corner, weekdays from 5 to 6 p.m. Central on AFR. For more from Abraham Hamilton III, public policy analyst for the American Family Association.
Friendships is an all-volunteer ministry helping the needy in the U.S. and abroad. There's an opportunity for you to care for Syrian war victims at Friendships Medical Field Clinic and Base in the Golan Heights. Among the positions available are doctors, nurses, dentists, interpreters, as well as personnel for operating the facility. For details, visit friendships.org or call 337-433-5022. Again, 337-433-5022.
Hello, friend. I'm Pastor Ron Jones, and I'm glad to tell you something good has come to American Family Radio. Something Good is a daily half-hour Bible teaching program that I'm hosting at 6:30 p.m. Central Time. In a world full of so much bad news, we're glad to bring you something good. Learn more at somethinggoodradio.org. That's somethinggoodradio.org.
In America today, religious freedom, national borders, and even traditional gender roles are in peril. With all that's happening in our world, our nation is in desperate need of a return to conservative values. Hello, I'm Buddy Smith, Senior Vice President of American Family Association. One of the best ways we can make a difference is with our vote. That's why each year the American Family Association is a sponsor of the Values Voters Summit to help increase cultural engagement. This year's Values Voters Summit will be October 13th through the 15th in Washington, D.C. The growing list of confirmed speakers includes people you hear on AFR like Ed Battagliano and Tony Perkins, as well as Michelle Bachman, George Barna, Gary Bauer, the Benham Brothers, and more. The Values Voters Summit is sponsored in part by AFA Action. To learn more and to register, you can visit valuesvotersummit.org.
This is Frank Affney with the Secure Freedom Minute. Suddenly, the talk of the town in Republican-controlled official Washington is Chuck and Nancy. With that chummy reference to the Senate and House Democratic leaders, President Trump sent a powerful shot across the bow of their GOP counterparts, Mitch and Paul. Mr. Trump took this step as a new national opinion survey found that 63% of those polled want Senator McConnell and Speaker Ryan replaced. The president justified his short-term deficit and budget deal with the Democrats as a means of obtaining a defense spending increase at a time when the prospect of deadly international conflicts seems to be growing by the day. The McLaughlin poll showed, though, that both congressional Republicans and President Trump are in political danger if they abandon the platform they ran on in 2016 and the voters who were persuaded by it to put them in charge. This is Frank Affney.
Sandy Rios in the Morning on American Family Radio.
And we're back. This is Matt Barber sitting in for Sandy Rios. You're listening to Sandy Rios in the Morning. I am founder and editor-in-chief of BarbWire.com. That's B-A-R-B-Wire.com. Check out the site. It's news and commentary. Some of the best commentary you're going to find out there from a decidedly Christian worldview. Want to go straight to the phone lines. Clinton, thanks for holding on out in Texas. What are your thoughts? Well, Clinton doesn't seem to be coming through. Clinton, are you there?
Hello?
Hey, Clinton, can you turn down your radio? You may be getting some feedback.
Oh, okay. Sorry about that. I can barely hear you.
Okay. Can you hear me now?
Yeah. Yeah, I can hear you better now. I think.
Okay.
I'm moving through an area that loses service quite often. Anyways, wanted to tell you you know, the liberal left will make it seem like it was the federal government, the only people down there helping out. But I didn't notice till last week the National Guard started moving in. And before the hurricane even hit, we had people like 8 Days of Hope and Samaritan's Purse and Southern Baptist Men, people like that were already staged and ready to provide disaster relief before federal government ever even got there.
Well, you know, and very good point. And to use, and thanks for the call, Clinton, and to use the, you know, to use a water analogy, if you will, the federal government is a humongous ship. And how do you, you know, to turn the ship, it is a slow process. And all of these parachurch organizations and Christian organizations, and, you know, we saw with Harvey these Cajun Navy and just individuals with their boats and going out to help. They're speedboats. You know, they can turn on a dime, and they get down there. And so when we put all our hope, as the left does and Democrats do, in the federal government, they're not watching out for us. We can't rely on the federal government for everything. And certainly that becomes manifest and plays out when we see the people. And you know, a good metaphor here for what we saw, think about in Houston with those, you know, those Texas rednecks with those big trucks with the giant tires pulling a National Guard, a huge National Guard truck out of the water with their ropes and chains. And that was great to see the military working together with these guys, these civilians, and does the heart good to see that stuff. But yeah, the federal government, we cannot necessarily rely upon. William in Georgia, welcome to Sandy Rios in the Morning. What are your thoughts?
Hey, good morning. Good morning. How you doing, sir? I want to say, first of all, as far as, like, you know, the Trump, Pelosi, Schumer thing, I think in a way it's kind of clever what President Trump has done. Because the reason why I say it is because, you know, one thing the Bible says is that the Lord uses this seemingly foolish thing to shame the wise. And, you know, for so many years, you know, you had the Republicans that was talking about how they was going to actually, you know, repeal no place Obamacare, and they never carried through those things. And I believe Trump used this as a way to actually show a lot of these, especially McConnell and Paul Ryan, that, you know, he's serious about working for the American people, and he's willing to even shift sides to even prove that no matter what. So
yeah,
it's just something that we have to pray about and just realize that you never know what the Lord may be doing behind the scenes in this situation.
Well, one thing is for sure, thanks for the call, William. One thing's for sure, Trump has the Republican leadership seething right now. I don't know how wise it is for him to agree with Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer on anything, because their policies are completely whacked out. And certainly the base, Trump's conservative base, is none too happy with him right now for, you know, making a deal with the devil effectively and talking about completely removing the debt ceiling altogether. How do you do that? You know, boy, I'd like to have an endless credit card with no accountability and no, pressure to ever pay it back with no debt limit. Wouldn't that be nice? But unfortunately, that's not reality. That's not how it works. And we're going to have to pay the piper sometime. And sadly, regrettably, it's going to be our children who end up paying the piper. Want to close out my thoughts here on, again, during this tumultuous time that we are experiencing as a world, across the globe. And can't you sense it? Those of us who have the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, those who don't understand it. Those of us who are children of God, of Christ, who are regenerate, Bible-believing Christians, saved through His grace by no work of our own. Believe me, we're no better than anyone else. But this spiritual warfare and the groaning that we see happening here in the earth is palpable. You can sense it. I can sense it. We will hear rumors of, we will see wars and rumors of wars, and we see war and earthquakes. Mexico City late last night, at 8.1 with a tsunami associated with it, and with Irma and Harvey, and now a couple more hurricanes in the Atlantic warming up and bearing down. The earth is groaning, and Paul, as we've been talking about throughout the program here today, he gave us the top eight things to think about. And I would posit that these are the top eight things. And what by this he meant, these are the eight things we need to be thinking about all the time. You know, we need to be praying for a change in our mind. Our minds are renewed and change and off with the old things and the ways of the flesh. And I'm paraphrasing scripture here, but and so we've talked about in some detail that which is true, focusing on, as Paul said, focus on that which is true, noble, right, pure, lovely. We focused on things. What is right? Well, there is right and wrong. There, objectively, there are things that are right. There are things that are wrong. And the world embraces that which is wrong. It calls evil good and good evil. And there is objective reality and objective moral truth. I call it God's moral physics. It's not even something that is malleable. It's not relative. So there is that which is right. And right is correct. Wrong is incorrect. We are to love and love, true love, which derives from love himself, who is Christ, is right. Hate is wrong. And in a world that calls evil good and good evil, those of us who embrace truth are called haters. Hate is wrong, and there is hate in this world. But it's the most hateful thing I can think of is to steer someone toward self-destruction, or toward focusing on these things that are the opposites of what Paul tells us. He says, focus on what is right. Well, the flesh wants to focus on and embrace that which is wrong. Right stems from truth and grace, and wrong stems from the lie. It stems from enmity and ruthlessness. You know, right is to forgive others so that we might be forgiven. Wrong is to resent. You think about class warfare, it's to begrudge. I mean, and that's the base of the left of their cultural Marxism is class warfare. You need to be covetousness as far as they're concerned. Right is the exclusivity of Christ. He is the only way to God. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Wrong is the inclusivity of religious pluralism. That's a lie. That there are many paths to God. That leads people away from God, not toward God. That's what the enemy wants. Right comes from God the Father, and wrong comes from the Father of lies. You know, we're to focus on whatever is pure. Pure is that which is, and this is a definition of it, free from what vitiates, weakens, or pollutes, containing nothing that does not properly belong. Chastity, you know, is pure. Fornication is impure. Fidelity to one's spouse. And these are the things we need to be focusing on. Fidelity to one's spouse, that is pure. And the faithful marriage bed is pure. Adultery is impure. Homosexual behavior and any form of sexual immorality is impure. True marriage is pure. Counterfeit so-called same-sex marriage is, quote, vitiated, weakened, and polluted by sexual immorality. Sexual immorality, homosexual sin, is at its base, at its center, and it is therefore impure. Contentment is pure. Covetousness is impure. As I've already mentioned, selflessness, which we see happening in Florida, in Texas, as people are suffering through these hurricanes and associated natural disasters, and selflessness, and when it's harmonized, and especially when it's motivated by God's moral truths and by the Holy Spirit, it is pure. Selfishness is impure. Jesus is pure, and we are impure. And true Christianity, rooted in and based on the Bible, is pure. They like to call it the religious right. No, it's the religious correct. It's the truths of Scripture. Orthodox Christianity, fidelity to Scripture, is pure. Apostate, you know, a la carte cafeteria Christianity, take what you want, cast aside what you don't want, that's impure. That's a lie. And other false religions that deny that Christ is who he said he was, God incarnate, they are impure. Think about that. If true Christianity is total truth and is pure, everything else outside of that, if it doesn't come from God, where does it come from? And whether I'm talking about Islam, Hinduism, Buddhism, atheism, which is in itself a religion, it is the religion of self-worship, it is God denial, it is pagan in nature, it is a religion, and many atheists are religious. Whatever is lovely, lovely is defined, as we've talked about this, as attractive, as beautiful, outward beauty, whatever is admirable, and whatever is excellent. And excellence, think about that, it means of extremely high quality. And we're told to not only think about that which is excellent, but to strive for excellence in all we do. I worked with Liberty University for a number of years, and they focused there, and Jerry Falwell focused on excellence. And he said, if it's Christian, it should be better. As Christians, we focus, we strive toward excellence. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might, right? Right? Ecclesiastes 9:10 tells us that. And again, I'm sharing what Paul told us to focus on. These are the eight things we should be focusing on. As the world is groaning and in chaos, let's be focusing as Christ followers on these things. We know excellence when we see it. You know, I'm going back to my day. You think about Michael Jordan. He was excellent. I'm a drummer. I'm a jazz drummer. That's what I did for the military in the Army National Guard. One of my musical heroes was Buddy Rich. He was a legendary jazz drummer. He was excellent. You know, I think of the ribeye steak at Ruth's Chris. It's excellent. President Obama, his leadership, Pelosi, Schumer, right now, unfortunately, the Democrats, their leadership and policies, economic, social, national security related, both foreign and domestic, those are decidedly not excellent. We need to be focusing on that which is excellent, whatever is praiseworthy. And Webster's defines praiseworthy as that which is laudable, deserving praise, worthy of praise. And the previous, you know, these eight things that Paul is talking about that we've seen, including that which is praiseworthy, the previous seven things that Paul gave us to think about. They're all praiseworthy things. They are laudable. That which is true is praiseworthy. That which is noble, nobility. When we see the noble actions of folks giving to others in Hurricane Harvey in Texas and Florida, that's praiseworthy. That which is right is praiseworthy. That which is wrong is not. That which is pure is praiseworthy. That which is lovely is praiseworthy. That which is admirable and excellent. And do you see what Paul did here? What the Holy Spirit did through Paul, he gave us eight things to think about. But does anything strike you about these eight things? They're eight in one. Each one of these eight things represents a specific character of Christ himself. And Jesus is true. Jesus is noble. Jesus is right. Jesus is pure. Jesus is lovely. Jesus is admirable. Jesus is excellent. And finally, perhaps most importantly, Jesus is infinitely and eternally praiseworthy. So let's focus on these eight things during these tough times right now. Praying for everyone out in Florida, Georgia, and elsewhere. This is Matt Barber. I've been sitting in for Sandy Rios in the morning. It has been my pleasure. Hope to join you again soon. God bless you. Praying for you, America. See you next time.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.